Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come together this morning and just look into your word and see how you speak to us and show us things that we would never otherwise know. And so we give you praise for that. And I pray, God, you would open each and every heart to receive what you have to say. I pray you anoint me. I just speak words of the Spirit, and each heart would be open to receive from the Spirit. But we give all thanks to you. We thank you for this morning. And we do pray you speak to us, meet with us. Say, come, Lord Jesus, come. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we give thanks to you, God. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to look at, turn in your Bibles, or whatever you have handy, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, and we've been looking at the book of Thessalonians. And it says this, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so will always be with the Lord. Now, the title of the message is The Rapture, okay? And like some of you say, oh, okay. And some of you say, what are you talking about? Well, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about the rapture and see what the Scripture has to say about it. Now, as I approach this, I want to make a point that I think it's important, is that when this letter was written, this is one of the early letters that Paul wrote. So it's one of the oldest. It's one of the earliest ones he's written. And he's sharing with people in Thessalonica. So he goes in this town and he's sharing with these people, which is a Roman town. It's in Greece, but it's, you know, the Romans have been there for a long time, totally pagan in every sense of the word. And when Paul went to see to Thessalonians, Thessalonica, it had a Jewish contingent there, all right. But they didn't have a big impact. They weren't the major force. So he went, as Paul always does, he went and talked to the synagogues first. Well, they ran him out of town. They said, we won't have nothing to do with you. And so his, you know, stint with the Jews, they didn't want to have anything to do with him. But he still, you know, shared with the pagans, if you will, the Gentiles, in Thessalonica, all right? So what you have is he presents to this group of people, the Gentiles, you have to put in your mind, they don't have any background. They don't have a clue about it. Their whole life been given over to pagan Greek and Roman gods, and that's, you know, very immoral, and just the whole picture you can see that is. We won't have that mind. So he comes in, and he presents to them the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shares the gospel with them, and he surely shares the resurrection and that Jesus will return. So he tells those basic facts to these people, and they have that, and they have that. And then he's run out of town, okay? So these people have some questions. this is their, you know, this is their kind of first insight into Christianity. I believe they received Christ. It's a church, Christ. But it's like, okay, Jesus resurrected, you know, but he's going to come back. But I've just buried my mother right there. And I know she's, you know, he said, she, you know, she's going to go to heaven. But I know I just put her in the ground. And, you know, there's her body is in. And have y'all had any of those questions? Like, well, really do, where do I go when I die? I know where the body is and who am I with, and Jesus returns, and when he returns there's going to be a bunch of people alive. How do they fit into that? So you can see them talking, they're having a little Bible study, and they're going, yeah, there's a lot of stuff we don't know what's happening. Yeah, I love Jesus and I think I'm saved, but I don't understand what's happening about when people die and when Jesus comes back. So, that's their questions. That's who they are, okay? So, they're asking these questions. And Paul goes, okay, I tell you what I'll do. He writes them a letter. But what he's writing and what he's addressing in this section, and this is important when we look at the whole thing, you talk about the rapture and all this, The reason Paul brings it up is because they asked the question about people dying. That's the reason he's bringing it up. They said, we don't understand this. And so Paul says, let me answer your question about the people who have died. Now, so we come with that. That is the principle that he's coming at it, and that's what they're asking. All right, so we're all on the same page. It's like, you have the question, where do we go when we die? What happens? Jesus, what happens? That's what we want to know. And Paul says, okay, let me explain it to you. You could hear him say, I don't want you uninformed about the people who've died. So now remember, we're going to talk about the rapture, but that's not what Paul's intent was. We're going to talk about the people who died. So let's just back up about four verses and look how Paul introduces this subject. It's really important. So look at 1 Thessalonians 4:13. He's talking to these people. Now remember, there's no background. There's no background here. It's like, you know, he started a Bible study and then left town. It's, wait a minute, you know. And they don't have a New Testament. You all with me? Okay, so here's what Paul's writing on this letter. And he says this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers. There it is. That's the reason he's writing the whole thing. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. Now that's a foundation we need to stand on right there. Because it's like, I want you, you know, I don't want you uninformed about those who are asleep, those who have died. I don't want you uninformed about it. Because, you know, they're concerned. Hey, that's a good message, but, you know, there's a lot of things I don't understand about it. I don't want you uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve. Now, that's important, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. And I've mentioned this before. I've had the opportunity to do a lot of funerals. And, I mean, it's a hard time. You know, people, you know, have died and people miss them. But a believer's funeral with believers and a funeral with unbelievers is really, really different. Really different. In general, always with believers crying or something, but there's hope. There's hope. There's even sharing, you know, so they'll share funny things about them, they'll cry. There's hope, even though there's a lot of grief. And when you share with unbelievers, there is wailing and agony and no hope. They're gone. They're gone. Okay. Now some of them said, well, they're in a better place now. They don't have a clue what that place is. They're just hoping there's something better. But I mean the whole thing, there's a lot of agony. And Paul's going to say, I don't want you to grieve like that. I don't want you to grieve like that, like people who have no hope. You are different. Now, there's a word we need to look at. This one's bothered me a lot for a long time. And he uses the word sleep. Now, what he's doing, he's using the word sleep metaphorically for died. That's what he's doing, okay? So you make a note of that. When he says they're asleep, he's saying it's a word he's using metaphorically, saying they have died. Now, the reason he's using asleep in lieu of death is because of the temporary nature for Christians. Death is a temporary nature. So he says asleep. He's making a point. You're not like everybody else. So he uses the term sleep. Paul and two, Christians are, another reason you use the word asleep, because Christians are assured of the resurrection. So it's like, okay, we'll just sum it up. I'm going to talk to you about all those who are asleep. Okay? It's temporary, and there's a resurrection. So he doesn't say they're dead, like hope. But no, they're just asleep. Now, goes on. Now, that raises a few questions, doesn't it? Well, they're asleep. Wait a minute. What Paul views people, here you are, your flesh, soul and your spirit. And again, I always do this. You pinch your little cheek at your body. Body's not eternal. Soul's eternal. You know, the soul's what he promised is eternal. Who we are is our soul, not our body. Okay, so he's trying to make it sleep. Okay, he said, okay, these people are asleep. Paul viewed those who sleep as continuing their relationship with Christ in heaven while their bodies were in the grave. Sleep refers to the physical body. Now that helps, okay? You're going to see that. When you read through that, you should have this question, okay? He says, no, okay, sleep. There's never a breaking off of a Christian's relationship with Christ. You know, so he says, no, it's they're asleep. But sleep refers to the physical body. You got that? That's important. When he says they're asleep, he means their body, because their soul is absolutely alive. Okay? But you're here on earth. No, mom's dead. She's here. Well, no, there's a difference. She's in heaven, but the body's here like it's asleep. It refers to the body now. Death is not some unconscious repose, but it is a shedding of the body and us going to be with Christ. All right? But you see what he's explaining to these folks. He's telling them about, I don't want you to grieve. I don't want you to grieve because the body is sleeping. The body is sleeping, but your relationship continues with Christ. Now, we have other places. Now, Paul fully understood that because he said in Philippians 1:23, I don't have an overhead, but in Philippians 1:23, he said, oh, man, my desire is to depart and be with Christ. It's not, my desire is to depart and just sleep until he returns. No, his desire is, no, I want to go with Christ now. See, because he fully understood. No, my body will stay, but I will go be with Christ. And he refers to his body as asleep. It's asleep. So he's making a, he's distinguishing there. Also, when Jesus, you know, was on the thief on the cross with Jesus. Jesus told the thief, said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Well, that body was really torn up and was put in the grave. But that thief is with Jesus. But the body is in the ground. It's asleep. So we got that? And that's important. Okay. When he says asleep, he's talking about the body. The body. The physical body. Now, so a believer's death, and he's explaining to these people, they don't have a clue now. I mean, they never had one Sunday school class in their life. Their parents, I mean, they have nothing. And so he's explaining this to them. So he says, he's telling them also that the believer's death or sleep is closely connected to Christ's death, resurrection, and ultimate return. So he's melding these two together. Okay, this is Christ, but this is you. And these two are together. You can't separate them. That's what he's telling them. Now, so let's look, if you will, at 1 Thessalonians 4:14, the next verse. He goes this. For since we believe, now just pause there. I know I'm driving this, you know, into the ground. He goes, he's talking to them. He says, for since we believe, what? They believe what? How do they know? He was there and he told them about Christ. They received Christ, but they got lots of questions, theological questions. So he says there, you know, for since we believe, you and I believe, that Jesus died, rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep. Okay, ding dong. It's like, now they got some information here. Oh, okay. When Jesus returns, when God brings Jesus, he's going to bring all the people who've fallen asleep. Now, that's an aha moment for the Thessalonians. Now, wait a minute. Asleep, why is he saying they're asleep? The bodies are asleep. Not the people. The souls was crying. But when he comes back, he's going to bring all those with him who are asleep. That means the bodies too. So this is a huge revelation. But we just see he's making this point. Jesus died physically, and by taking our sin, Jesus was separated from God. Now, get a little theology here. When we die, we're going to be of Christ. Our body's asleep. Okay? Death, separation from God, is eternity in hell. All who have sinned died. They're separated from God. And Jesus said something incredibly, interesting on the cross. And he said, my Father, why have you forsaken me? Jesus on the cross was a God-forsaken man. He was separated. Now, I can't explain it, but it was. He is separated from God. He experienced true death, separation from God. Oh, my God, why have you, why, Lord, why? See, so the point is, Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. He died our death, the separation from God that we deserve. He took it. He took it. That was one of the biggest parts of Jesus' agony, not the pain of the cross, but the pain of being separated from God. That was the agony. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was the agony. The cross was just a picture physically of what that agony was, but the real agony was being separated from God so that believers will not be separated from God. We just go be with him. We're never separated from him because of what Jesus did. All God's people said, amen. Amen. So, are these people in Thessalonians, they're getting a wow, and as you look at this. Jesus suffered the true and complete sacrificial death. By Jesus dying in our place, we only suffer bodily sleep while our spirit and soul continues in relationship with Christ in heaven. Now that's the point he's getting to. Don't grieve like everybody else. Don't grieve because you're just transitioning to be with Christ. You don't even suffer the pangs of being separated from God ever, because Jesus suffered the pain of actual separation from God. We'll never have to live through that. But Jesus did. Now, it just makes our salvation more like jaw-dropping. Oh, Lord Jesus, we put our faith in you. Now, so as we look at this, he also says in this whole context, he said, those who have died before us, those who have died, remember, he's talking about death. It's just, those who have died before us will return to earth with Jesus. Lots of stuff right here. Jesus is going to return. We're going to return with him. The ones who are dead, now he's telling them, answering their question, the ones who are dead are going to return with him to the earth. Now, next verse. Methodically, look at this. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. Now he says this. He says, for this we declare to you by a word from the Lord. Now when I read this, when I was preparing for this message, I just stopped there. It may be, but I don't remember it. I don't remember like Paul telling somebody, I got a word from you. This is a word from the Lord for you. And I'm sure, he quotes scripture, God told me stuff, but he makes a point like, you don't have a clue. Nobody else has a clue. I don't have a clue, but I want to tell you something. Here is a word from the Lord. Nobody has this, but now you're getting it. This is God's direct word about this subject of death. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. He answered their next question. Jesus is going to come back, and all the dead, those that are asleep, are going to come back with him. That's what he said, with him. And the guy's going, well, if he comes back like now, what about me? What about me? I mean, he's coming back, bringing all my relatives and stuff. What about me? I'm still alive here. See, he's answering your question about death. And so it's real clear what he said. If Jesus returns today while we're alive on the earth, the Christians who have already died will receive their glorified bodies before we are caught up to meet with Jesus. Y'all got the sequence down? They're separated from their bodies, soul and spirit, with Jesus. Jesus brings them back. Now, the verse says, the verse is really said, he says, we who are alive and left until the coming of the Lord will not proceed. We will not proceed those who have fallen asleep. The dead go first. You know, we're here, and all of a sudden, he calls up the body. Here comes Jesus with all those believers that have passed away. And as he comes down, he calls forth, and they all receive a glorified body at that time. Y'all with me? You a winner? Okay. Now, I don't know how it is with Jesus. I think it'd probably be pretty good with Jesus in soul and spirit, you know, and you're interacting. Good place to be, you know. So that's a truth that we'll go be with him face to face. That's what Paul says. I won't be with the Lord. Jesus said the thief. Today you'll be with me in paradise. So there's a spiritual relation, a reality greater than the reality we know now. You're with God. Then he comes back with us, our soul, our spiritual nature. He comes back, and he comes back, and the dead in Christ arise. Arise. Now remember, we're still here. Okay? I mean, it's like, really? Now, so you have this picture. And we are caught up to meet Jesus in the air. Paul declares specifically, remember, this is a word from the Lord. How do we know this is true? How do we know? God told us it's true. That's the only reason we know. Now, at this point in time, when Jesus comes back, and this is important to remember, this will be a visible worldwide event. Everybody is going to know. You know, we say, everybody is going to know when this happens. Just like this. And it says it, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And it says, for the Lord himself, you know, not his buddy, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. He just answered their question. And the dead in Christ was, and they're going, so they're starting to get the picture now. Oh, my mother's with Christ. Her body is in the grave. But when it comes back, she's coming back with Jesus first. Well, I'm still alive. Nothing has happened. And I'm going to raise her body up, and she'll get a glorified body first. That all happens first. And it's interesting, the wording here, Jesus, with absolute authority. Always when I look at these, I think about these things, even myself. Well, if Jesus was here, I'd ask him. Or, you know, something. Well, if Jesus is here, I would argue with him. I think, that ain't happening. When Jesus is here, you're going to go, oh, shoot. You know, I mean, it's like, uh-oh. Now, but what you have here, with absolute authority, Jesus himself will come down and give the command. Do you notice that? What is the command? You ever think about it? What's the command? Rise. That's the command. He gives the command. He says, the body shall rise. That's his command. He comes with a cry of command, with authority, and all the bodies will rise up. And every person that's died before that's coming with Jesus will receive a glorified body at that time. Okay? Now, we're still here. Okay? It's like, now, so this is the education of the whole thing. The dead bodies of the saints will be raised first before anything else occurs. See, this is Jesus' move. Okay, I have to come get all the folks. Okay, because nothing happens until he calls forth and gives all the people with him that passed away glorified bodies. So the dead bodies be raised first before anything else occurs. Then they, the whole group, will be the main participants in the first acts of Jesus after his return. How's it going to work? He comes back with everybody else. You know, just because I don't have better words. He'll come with all the dead folks and take over. And there's no argument. I mean, they're just going to come, and it's theirs. That's how it works. That's how it works. And, you know, the Bible will place it that God came with a great mass and this, and people, well, angels and this. Jesus returns with this multitude. No, the multitude is us. It's not angels, it's us. He comes with all believers for eternity past. They come with him. And he comes with them with a shout and a cry. Now, so we're going. Now we're talking about Thessalonians. Now you're this is your like second Bible study ever. you go, oh my gosh. And then, you know, somebody raises their hand, okay, like, but what about us? I mean, we're still here. I see what you said, but what about us? He goes, okay. Then he says, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Now here's a huge word, it's in the Greek. And it is then. T-H-E-N. Then. Now he's going to do something. Then. When all the saints who are asleep receive their glorified body, go up and receive their bodies with Christ, and Christ is coming down, you know. Then. At that time. After that happens. After that. Then. We who are alive and who are left. I mean, that's pretty clear. We who are alive and who are left will be caught up. Caught up. Together with them. Who's them? What them? The ones that just received their glorified bodies. Now we'll be caught up with them. Some people say, well, I recognize, you know, my mother in heaven. Well, I think then you will. You have a glorified body. Oh, then you're going to be raised up with them. You'll be raised up with them, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet. Just floating around in the cloud. No, you're up there to meet someone. Again, this is more information than you probably want. But that word to meet, okay, they would use it in times for Greek to meet a dignitary. That's the word they would use. So we're going to go and meet a dignitary. Or maybe reversed. He's meeting us because he refers to us as dignitaries. Okay, but we're going to be caught up together with them in the class to meet the Lord in the air. And so we always be with the Lord. Always be with the Lord. And he goes, that's how it happens. That's how it happens. And so, when you look at this, this caught up means, the word means, caught up means suddenly snatched up with force. And it's used in other places where, like Philip, you know, he baptized the Ethiopian, you know, and after he baptized, and they use this word, God snatched up Philip and put him someplace else. Same word. So what happens that word caught up means snatched up with force. Now, this is important. Now, this is, you know, the New Testament is written in what? What language? Basically, Greek. Now, the Romans spoke Latin, okay? Did you know some of the first Bible, you know, we had it in Greek. They were in Greek, but the Romans and stuff, they translated the Bible into Latin, you know, from Greek to Latin, you know, just like they do. Well, this word caught up in Latin is raptus, where we get rapture. It's not a Greek word. It's a Latin word, you know. So it's not in the Bible. Yeah, it is. It's caught up. That's the Greek word. Means caught up. But the Latin word is raptus, meaning rapture. That's where we get the term rapture, okay? It's from the Latin. So just that doesn't make a hill of beans, but anyway, you know, that's where we get it, rapture. Now, so we have this whole picture. So now what we have, the Thessalonians, are they going, oh, now remember how I started out with this? I don't want you to grieve. I mean, we've all been to funerals. I mean, I don't care. You just, and I'm going to say this, I know, people comes, we're going to get together and we're going to have a celebration of life. I said, no, come on, they died. You know, we won't rejoice, we don't agree. And I'm thinking, I've told you, you come to my funeral and I don't want you to get too upset, but I do want you to grieve a little. I mean, I want you to say, gosh, you miss him. You know, I really, really miss him. You know, so, you know, kind of tone it down on the joy, like thank God he's gone, you know, or something. But the whole point of it is, the whole point of here, we see this, what Paul is addressing, I don't want you to grieve like everybody else grieves. And so he tells us this. This is the reason he's telling them this. No, they're in heaven with the Lord, and they'll come back with the Lord, and they're going to receive glorified bodies. And you here on earth are going to be caught up with them at that time. Now that's, and I'm sure this is like a millisecond. They get their glorified bodies, we get caught up. But them receiving their glorified bodies first, we get caught up second. I don't think there's like 2 days in between. All right? It's going to happen at once, but they come first. Now, there's no reason for you to grieve. Also, there's no reason for you to be afraid. I have, you all remember the late, oh, we went, oh, it just drives me crazy. It just died, the late young lady, 85 years old. Marilyn came here, and what a blessing she was. And when she was getting close to pass away, and it was really interesting, her sister, her daughters were there, and they were ministering. I came to minister. Well, they, you know, Marilyn was ministering to me. You know, she's telling me everything's going to be all right and stuff. You know, Marilyn, and she says she met with the Lord, and she just shared like this vision of him holding his hand and says, "Now you're going to be with me, a joy." And she shared that with me. And her daughters were there, in fact, they remind me. And said, "Now you're going to be with me." And she says, "I have no fear." And she put her hand on my hand. She says, "Wallace, you don't have to fear either." And I thought, and I kind of wondered, you mean now? Or I thought, just, you're going to go, am I going to go with you right now, or do I have some time? But anyway, but the point of it is that the thing that there's nothing to fear. And the Lord reaffirmed to her, there's nothing to fear. She's going to be with him. So the whole point of this is so you won't grieve. But in the communication of it, we understand that, no, those that have passed away are coming with Jesus. Say, Jesus, no, they're all coming with him. But before he gets here, he calls up their glorified body. He gives the command. They all receive a glorified body. And once that happens, we're transformed, and we'll go up with him in the air. You know, it kind of helped. Lord has got stuff in control. He really does. I mean, it is, things are just crazy. But no, he's going to come through. And what he says is for real, it's going to last. And therefore, it should be our encouragement. You know, now we're here to be obedient to him and what he says, you know, but we should have a confidence of him. In fact, in the book of 1 Corinthians, and you can turn there, I have an overhead, in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 52, Paul also describes this mystery there. He describes the same thing there. He's talking in chapter 15 about the resurrection, about Christ and the resurrection. And then he makes this statement that connects with what was said in 1 Thessalonians about when Jesus returns. And he's helping the people understand what's going to happen, you know. 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 52. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Why is it a mystery? You have a clue. You have a clue. And I have a word from the Lord that I told the Thessalonians about, now I'm going to tell you about. Here's the mystery. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Pay attention to the words we've already talked about, okay? Already talked about. We shall not all sleep. What's sleeping? Huh? Death. Asleep. But what's actually sleeping? The body. The body. So he's saying, we shall not all sleep. The body. So not all our bodies are going to sleep. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. We're all not going to sleep, but we're all going to be changed. Who's going to be changed? What all is he talking about? Now, before. Everybody's going to be changed, the dead and the living. All right. But I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Here it is, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. All those people will receive an imperishable body that are coming with Jesus. And we who are still here will be changed. Now, how long is this going to take? Twinkling of an eye. Boom. Sound. Lord gives a command. Twinkling of an eye. Receive their glorified bodies. And we living will be changed. Now what it says here, when Jesus returns, those Christians still alive will undergo immediate change from mortality to immortality, never to experience death. Never to experience death. In the rapture, those believers still living on earth will suddenly and immediately be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's just what we said. Just what it says. Now, he ends this. He starts it off, he's talking about death. He gives us all this information. Then he leaves us something, and we should really take this to heart. We really should. The Lord tells us these things for a reason. He said this is a word from Jesus, and it should encourage us and be repeated and used to encourage every believer. You people, it's not my world. It's not. You know, it's not. And we have a relationship with Christ that remains unbroken. People, you know, will pass on, their body will sleep, but the relationship with Christ remains unbroken. John says, in the book of John, Jesus says something very interesting in chapter 6. And he says it like three times. And he goes, you will never die. Now, come on. He's telling, you will never die. What is he saying? I have a relationship with Christ. You shed the body, and you continue in that relationship. Nothing changes. Body wore out. You move on to be with Jesus, and when he comes back, I give you a new one. imperishable. See, it's all tied together. You'll never die. In fact, sometimes I'll say that just to stir people. Jesus says you'll never die. Wait a minute, you know. No, Jesus said you'll never die. Your body will sleep, but you'll always have that relationship with Christ for all eternity. Once you accept Christ, that relationship is all for eternity. Once you accept Christ, and even if you do some dumb stuff and screw it up here, you still have that relationship with Christ because He died for you. He paid your penalty. There's no way that you get out from under that. You're washed by the blood because He loves you. So He ends Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4:18 with this. Therefore, because of everything I told you, therefore, encourage one another with these words. I mean, this is a good words to encourage everybody else. Hey, God's got this. God's going to work it out. We have a relationship for all eternity. Yeah, people have died. Their body is just sleeping. But when He comes back, He's going to bring them with Him and give them a glorified body. And if He comes back now, just get a glorified body without dying, without sleeping. Now, I'll wrap it up with this. Okay, the rapture being caught up at Jesus' return should give us perspective and confidence. Now, when you look at chapter 15 of Corinthians, now he's talking about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. He's telling them also at a later time. And after he discusses with the Corinthians in chapter 15 of Corinthians, and tells them they're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye to be with the Lord. When he finishes that, here is his closing remarks in 1 Corinthians 15. And we need to take this to heart because he just told us this stuff and we're going, whoa. Now he closes it with this. Therefore, if you believe this, this should impact your behavior. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, you ever wonder what those words therefore are therefore? It's therefore because he's saying, therefore, what I just told you, therefore, this is how you should behave. Therefore, since you know all about the rapture and taking on glorious bodies, Jesus returning, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is never in vain. Never in vain. I love what it says in 1st or 2nd Peter. And it says, if you know that the Lord's going to burn up the whole world, what manner of person should you be? I mean, it kind of gives you a different perspective, you know. If you know what manner, if you really believe he's going to burn the whole, what manner of person should you be? Here, knowing that in the Lord your labor is never in vain. Closing, we shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Encourage one another with these words. It's all ours because of what Jesus did. It's all ours. I mean, we can't even mess his plan up. We make him do a lot of workarounds, but we can't really mess it up, you know. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love. And Lord, to understand the main point, that we will not grieve like others grieve. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you died on the cross. You experienced death. You paid the penalty for sin. Lord, that we have an eternal relationship with you. We thank you for that eternal relationship. And that, Lord, you're going to come back. You're coming back. You're bringing those who have died with you. Give them glorified bodies and catching up all those who are still here. That we will reign with you. Romans 8 says, we will reign with Christ. We will reign with you for eternity. God, we praise your holy name in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.